At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
You are looking live at VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, here's Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel.
It is VSiN Prime Time, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Tim is freaking out about, I think, one of the most mundane events that I've ever seen in my life, which is just Circa taking the draft props off of the board at 5 o'clock.
I had the recording, and I was really hoping for the screen behind us just to go black. But what they did was they just grayed out the numbers, and now you can't bet the draft anymore in Nevada, but you can bet in other states, so always check your...
And we're officially done talking about the draft now. We're done. We're not going to talk about it ever again.
Not true. But I did get it. It is interesting to note the states that allow draft betting, because I had someone tweet me, because we've talked about the draft so much, saying, hey, man, I want to bet one of those plays. I was like, where are you? Virginia. I'm like, gonna have to make a drive to Washington, D.C. or Maryland. Can't do it in Virginia.
All within like 10 feet of each other, from what I understand.
Parts of it, yeah. Yeah, you can get in and out from Virginia to D.C. to Maryland. Called the DMV. That's where I live, JVT.
You did?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I did. All right, Johnny Lazarus. I don't think he lives in Washington, D.C. He is cheering wildly against my Washington Capitals, which, I mean, just disrespectful. But he comes on the program right now. Johnny Lazarus at JLazzy23 on social media. Our NHL insider here at VSiN. We've got a scoreless game at the end of one, Boston and Toronto. So actually really good timing to have you on. I'm just, your quick thoughts on this one. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot as we sit here. It's essentially a pick 'em. Boston minus 120, Toronto minus 110. Over-under has come down to 4.5. What have you, from the first 20 minutes, pulled away from Bruins and Leafs?
Well, first of all, fellas, always a pleasure being on here. Thank you guys for having me, as always. And I do have some friends from the DMV, so I can relate a little bit. But I actually did just throw a little money on Toronto. I really liked the way they played in that first period. They stepped it up a little bit physically. Toronto's a team that can be known to be a bit softer, and that's something that is often critiqued about them. But you saw that last few shifts. Ryan Reeves throws a big hit. I believe it was Benoit that throws another big hit on Pastrnak. Toronto is playing physical. They're bringing their crowd into the game a little bit more. Sometimes Scotiabank can be a little bit quieter when the team isn't giving them the energy that they need, but the Leafs have brought it tonight. I want to see them play a little bit more offensively and take some more chances. But right now, a 0-0 game on home ice, I feel like Toronto has the momentum. So going into the second, I do like the Leafs in this pivotal game three. Although with Boston, Jeremy Swayman's been so good for the Bruins, that's the one concern. Is he going to let one up? But I like the way that the Leafs have played so far, and I think they have the edge in this game going forward.
So, Johnny, we are – don't listen to Tim. We don't care about the Capitals. He's just hopping on because
they're irrelevant.
They're irrelevant. Yeah, thank you very much. We are a very pro-Predator show, though, here. Okay?
By the way, can I just ask a question? I mean, Johnny, when were you born?
96.
Okay. So how many Stanley Cups have the Rangers won in your life?
I've never seen a championship for any of my favorite teams, which is the Knicks, and the Rangers. So no championships in my lifetime.
Did you see one when the Capitals won?
Yeah, I was actually rooting for Washington that year, too. That was awesome.
Continue.
I don't think anyone celebrated the Stanley Cup better than Alexander Ovechkin.
It's very true. I just say it because Tim watched like 5 seconds of hockey and then the Capitals made it in. And all of a sudden, we're like pro Capitals.
You're talking to this guy. He's like, oh, all in on Detroit. You have readily admitted that you took two futures solely based off of Mike Somich and Big Balls.
That's right. That's exactly it. But I've had these futures for a while. So this is where we get to. Now, futures aside, how big is this goaltender issue for Vancouver? We saw it play out. And they were chanting his name at the beginning of the game yesterday, and he gives up a goal. What do we do with this? How live now is Nashville with the issues in goal for the Canucks?
So I'm happy you brought that up because that's something I wanted to bring up as well. The series price right now has Nashville actually at minus 105. They're the underdog still for the series, and the series right now is going back to Nashville tied at 1-1. I think the momentum shifts in their favor. They actually played better hockey down the stretch than Vancouver did. Vancouver was a little bit of a roller coaster ride to end their season, but every time Vancouver has wavered, they've come right back and played strong. So you don't really know what to expect from the Canucks playing here on the road. It's also their first playoff atmosphere in 9 years. This is a team that hasn't really played much playoff hockey, and that could show. I mean, Rick Tocchet's done a great job behind their bench, but everything Andrew Brunette has done for Nashville this year and what Barry Trotz has done in his first year as a GM, this Predators team is built for the playoffs. And I actually do think they have the edge going forward, and I love the fact that they're at minus 105 on DraftKings. I would jump on that right now because I do think Nashville is one of the hardest places to play as far as atmospheres go in the playoffs. I do think now they have a complete edge in goal with UC Saros against Casey DeSmith. Nashville also has a deeper blue line than Vancouver, I would say. Some would argue that, but I think so. The only thing I would give the edge Vancouver over Nashville is probably their power play and their forward depth. But to me, this is Nashville's series for the taking with the absence of Thatcher Demko.
All right. In the other injury news here we got as well, I think this came out earlier today, Brett Pesce, how impactful is this for the Hurricanes?
So in the first round, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. And that's not a discredit to Brett Pesce. He's a very important piece of the puzzle in Carolina. But I think after that game two loss, the Islanders let a 3-0 lead slip. I think the shot differential was like 110 to 28 attempts. The Islanders finished that game with 12 shots on goal, something like that. So a really rough showing for the New York Islanders, something that can suck the life out of you. Obviously, they play game three at home tomorrow, but I think Carolina finishes this thing in no less than five games. My prediction was a Carolina sweep. The Islanders could steal one depending on how Ilya Sorokin plays tomorrow. He's getting his first start of the playoffs. Varlamov got the starts in the first two games for the Islanders, but that loss in game two, I mean, that is a tough loss to come back from if you're the Islanders. So while Brett Pesce's absence will be felt, I don't think it's a make or break thing for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Johnny Lazarus joining us here on a progressive guest line. So still an intermission between Toronto and Boston right now. He does like the way Toronto played in that first period. Would look at them in game. Still two games to come tonight. We'll start with Vegas and Dallas. Vegas is now at DraftKings, a minus 155 favorite in the series. They are an underdog tonight as Dallas around minus 165. Game one. And now tonight, what have been your takeaways and who ultimately do you think wins this series?
So I actually got into an argument today on my show, Morning Cup of Hockey, about this game being a must win for Dallas. And, you know, you got to be careful with that phrase. We actually came to the conclusion after that it's more of a can't lose than a must win. And that's an argument for another day because I know we're two different things. You know, like, because listen, if you're the Dallas Stars right now, you are the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. They've been the best team pretty much. You know, I know they didn't win the President's Trophy, but they have been the unanimous best team in the NHL as far as, you know, their depth, having no holes, and to go down 2-0, heading back to Vegas where you guys are familiar, that's a tough place to play, and they're the previous Stanley Cup champions. I don't think they can win 4 out of 5 games, especially with 3 of those games coming at the Fortress. So, you know, I look at this game as a desperate and urgent effort from the Dallas Stars. That said, all the pressure is on them tonight, which makes me think that putting money on Vegas as an underdog at plus 136 could be worth it if you want to sprinkle it. You know, I don't think Dallas is a lock by any means. Jake Oettinger is a phenomenal goalie for the Stars, and he's shown his ability to bounce back. Last year in the playoffs, he was phenomenal in games after a loss. But this year's a different story, and knowing that they have that pressure as the league's, you know, one of the best teams, Vegas is playing with house money, no pun intended. So I would maybe lean Vegas in this game, but it's going to be tough. This is a series that, you know, didn't deserve a first round matchup. Both these teams should, you know, be willing to, or should have been able to go on deep playoff runs. It's a shame they're playing each other and one of them has to lose, but this is going to be an all-time battle tonight. And I would lean Vegas actually in this game.
from a number standpoint, this stuck out to me too, Johnny, which was, you know, so they were $1.50 favorite, Dallas was, in game one. They lose that. Now we're looking at $1.65. Did something change? Like, or is it just, hey, they lost and they can't lose this one, so the market's just ratcheting this price up on the Stars? Because that would make me think that there's some value there numerically on Vegas too.
Well, they were the better team in game one. I don't think Dallas necessarily got what they deserved, but Jake Oettinger didn't play his best game. And Logan Thompson, to his credit, had a pretty strong showing. So, you know, it is that desperation factor that I think goes into this. And we've seen it so many times where, you know, a team loses game one on home ice or even in other sports, in basketball, they typically bounce back in game two. So I think that's why the price has been jacked up. And again, Dallas was the better team in that game. So to me, it makes sense. But again, that's why I was saying the point. There's so much more pressure on Dallas to get it done tonight, which is why Vegas might be the better play.
What about the pressure on Los Angeles? Now, they're on the road, obviously, but they get the Kings tonight. They're down 0-1. Oilers right now around minus 185. Game one, the Oilers put up a touchdown in that one. So we're looking at a total of 6, juiced slightly to the over. What did you make of Edmonton in game one, that performance, Johnny? And what do you expect tonight?
I don't want to be disrespectful to the LA Kings here, but they don't stand a damn chance in this series. They don't. And listen, you know, I know these two teams have met in the previous two Stanley Cup playoffs. The first time it went 7 games. Last year it went 6 games. If Edmonton has learned one thing, they got to put this team away and do it quickly. I think this is going to be a statement game from the Oilers tonight. One of my plays tonight was actually Edmonton in regulation, which is minus 115. So it's a little bit cheaper than the money line. That's them to get it done in the 60 minutes. I don't think we'll see overtime tonight. Edmonton's offense is just way too elite for this LA team. You know, they try to play that 1-3-1 and shut you down in the neutral zone, but if there's one team that can get through it, it's the speed of the Edmonton Oilers. So I do think we see a high scoring game. I don't trust either goaltender. Stuart Skinner had a strong showing in the first half, but then let the game kind of slip away in the second half of that game, allowing 4 goals. To me, this is all Edmonton all night. I expect a lot of goals, and I expect Edmonton to get it done in 60 minutes.
All right, last minute with you here. We already went over one of the games or a series tomorrow. What is the expectation for the Lightning back home down 2-0 to Florida?
So this one is so interesting because my pick was Lightning in 7, and I saw the series prices at plus 600 right now if you get Tampa. And what's the oldest saying in the book? You're not in trouble in a series until you lose a game at home. Tampa could have easily won that game too. A couple of great saves from Sergei Bobrovsky keeps Florida in it. Florida wins in overtime. But this series could easily be 1-1 going back to Tampa. I think that's a juicy price to get at. Tampa's a team that's been to 3 Stanley Cup finals in the last 4 years. Always willing to put my money on them. They have never steered me in the wrong direction in years past. So if you want to take a bet, I wouldn't go individual game here on Tampa, but I would throw a little bit of money on that plus 600 for them to come back and win the series. It's going to be tough, but it could be worth it.
At Jay Lazzie, 23, our NHL analyst here at VSiN. Always appreciate it, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it always.
There he is, Johnny Lazarus on our Progressive Guest Line. The Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat wrapping up the first half. Celtics up 59-58. It's VSiN Primetime.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Going to be chock full of NFL draft coverage tomorrow, folks, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. We here at VSiN Prime Time. We'll have special guests, Mike Golic Sr. and Mike Golic Jr. Get the deep dive analysis on draft prospects and predictions. Of course, stay locked in. We've got a special edition of the GM Shuffle at 8 p.m. Eastern. Former NFL exec Michael Lombardi, Femi Abebefe. Get real-time analysis of the first-round picks. You can watch the entire draft with them. Huh? A little simulcast, a little shared screen experience. And then, of course, cap it off, 11 p.m. Eastern, VSiN tonight. Matt Youmans, Wes Reynolds will wrap it all up. Give you the graded draft props and more. And if you want written analysis, VSiN.com/draft, where you can find it all up in one tiny, itty, little great spot. VSiN.com/draft.
It is VSiN primetime, halftime in Boston, and the Boston Celtics head into the locker room with a 61-58 lead in that first half, Mr. Von Tobel. Jaylen Brown, 21 points. Jason Tatum, 18 points for the Miami Heat. Caleb Martin, a return of Caleb in the postseason.
I'll never forget this.
Three threes, had 11 points. Tyler Hero, 12 points. And Jaime Jaquez, 11 points in that opening half for the Heat.
Barry in the lead here. You mentioned a little bit, though. Nikola Jovic, 2 of 3 from three-point range. Caleb Martin, 3 of 4. Tyler Hero, 4 of 6. Jaime Jaquez, 2 of 3. The Heat as a whole, 13 of 24 from three-point range
is
in that first half. I mean, for a game, it could be. Shooting over 50% from three. Regression is not guaranteed over the course of a game. And I would actually argue this Miami Heat team has shown us regression is not guaranteed over the course of a series as they bombed out the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round last year. For those who do not forget, or for those who forget, whatever. Regardless, you get the point. Just because you're shooting an unsustainable rate doesn't mean that that's not going to sustain itself over the course of an entire game. So you could continue to see this Miami shooting like crazy and getting themselves a victory here in this series. But general thought would be that you're probably not going to be able to sustain it. And also, it's very rare when you see a team shoot 40% from three, 51% from the floor, and only lead by three at halftime. So we'll see
they
what happens
trail by
here.
Three.
No, I'm talking about Boston. Boston is the one that shoots 40% from three, 51% from the floor.
Right.
Miami shooting 54% from three, 50% from the floor. So would think that Boston would be the look here, but haven't really watched a ton to see what exactly has been transpiring. But general thought would be a little bit of regression to the mean.
Boston in game, or second half, I should say, as they lead by three, is 7.5 right now. So difference of about 4 points from the closing number.
Yep.
So you're getting a little bit of Boston on sale. If you want to pay some extra juice, DraftKings does have Boston in game -9.5. -$1.25.
And this did open 15. I wrote about this today in the column where, you know, clearly the market at least thought that 15 is a little high. Let's come in here. It was a slow-paced game, right? We've seen these totals come down. Probably hard to win by that margin. A bounce-back spot for a very well-coached Heat team. So market was in on at least taking 15 and 14.5. So at the very least, if you liked Boston, you didn't get in. Like you said, now instead of laying 14.5, you're laying 10.5.
And also you're seeing a very low second half total, so the market expecting some regression. First half total was 105. It went 119, 61-58. Second half total, we're looking at 100.5, which still would be significantly over what we were pre-flop. 205.5 was the closing number in this one.
And bet down. That opened like 207, 207.5. So
what we talk about, 11-3 ATS were the were the unders.
Yeah, man. It's the totals are like a really good story here, too, in terms of where we have come and where we're at. So tomorrow we're going to watch Cleveland-Orlando with a total currently of 199.5.
It's not like New York and Philly is much higher. It's 202.5.
Right. Yeah, so at some point, you know, like, and by the way, we're talking about these games. Like, they're the one, they're getting bet down, too.
Yeah.
So you're seeing these massive adjustments. At some point, maybe worth a little bit of a flyer on coming back here the other way. So we'll see if maybe this is the start of that turn, right? This game clearly looks like it's on pace to go over. And then we'll see if maybe we've gone a little too far. Cleveland, Orlando, New York, Philly, and Denver, L.A. Will continue to push that in the direction of maybe overs now.
So we've talked a lot about the quarterback market because that's the thing that people are most interested in. I saw one quote courtesy of Patrick Everson. I'm paraphrasing, but that people have bet the over like crazy on the over 4.5 quarterbacks. Looking at the number 3 overall pick market, this intrigued me. Because I was looking at one shop here in town, BetMGM, was as low as plus 130 for J.J. McCarthy. Right now at DraftKings, minus 180, plus 160. And I've continued to say I wouldn't really bet into this, but I want to show you this graphic because we've moved a lot. And I think it's kind of like what it was with May Daniels when we had that crash last week, JVT, which was we don't really know. And I don't know when this graphic was made, probably earlier this afternoon.
Odds are subject to change, Tim.
No. But I want I wanted to show that to make the point, right? So our graphics team makes these as up-to-date as possible, and I wanted to show the graphic because J.J. McCarthy was 4-1 to be the third overall pick. He's plus 160 right now.
Mm.
So there's no information out there. And I texted Sammy P., Sam Panionovich, who lives in Boston, works in that area, and he said anyone who knows anything is lying. And I think that's why we're starting to see this this pushback here. And I think come tomorrow night, that's what's going to be so fascinating about number three overall is if it is J.J. McCarthy, as Paul Charchian pointed out and others have speculated, that if J.J. McCarthy goes 3 to New England, that's where we're going to see the Vikings, the Giants, maybe some other teams trying to get the 4 to get Drake May. Because if you've pointed out, Drake May wasn't that long ago was thought to be in a conversation as the number one quarterback, and there's a possibility, not saying it's going to happen, but based off of these odds, certainly implies that there's a possibility that Drake May could be available at number 4.
Yeah, but I hesitate to buy into any odds move at this point, right? Because a lot of people, like I would argue, I think people like Thor and others who have really been tapped in have probably come close to unloading the clip in terms of what they're going to bet, right? And so now, just like with any big event, a vast majority of the public handle is now coming in here in the 24 hours leading up to said game or event. So, as we also know, these books will move, right, on any little gust of wind, as you kind of see. So I don't know if this is really anything other than people taking some plus prices on a guy that they have heard a lot about to go inside of the top three, right? I don't know if I'm buying these moves as predictive in any way, shape, or form.
I think this is like what we saw last Friday. Or Thursday, whatever.
Or
it
yesterday
was.
When we saw the, what was it, the J.J. McCarthy to be drafted by the Chargers? Was that one, or the Chargers take a quarterback?
Well, there was a little J.J. McCarthy move to 2 yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think people are just taking shots on
and as we know,
J.J. McCarthy.
They'll move on anything.
Yes. No, that is, and I think that's the important thing is when the wind blows, they got to adjust. Do they know someone have inside information? I do think it's just someone taking some people, I don't say someone, taking a shot at J.J. McCarthy because the belief is no one really knows what the Patriots will do at number 3. We have the updated odds right here. Drake May minus 180 to go to number 3. J.J. McCarthy plus 160. Jaden Daniels at plus 550. Marvin Harrison, the guy that you think is a possibility at 12-1.
Of course, yeah. I mean, the Chargers draft up, leapfrog the Arizona Cardinals and get up there. And to the point, too, of, and I think I've said this before, but it's worth reiterating now that we're 24 hours away from the draft. I will say that line moves coming up here, like significant ones in the next 24 hours, I think are the predictive ones, and especially the ones that are tight to draft time. You know, spots like DraftKings will keep their odds up. And we saw last year was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the
when
CJ
you saw
Stroud movement,
the swing like an hour before, those are the line moves that you're really like,
it was
buying
like
into.
Minus 800, minus 1,000.
It was just. Yeah. It was crazy. So, like, these still, like, I know we're close. I still wouldn't buy into much, and especially if they're moving quick. Like, if J.J. McCarthy had gone from 4-1 to minus, like, 250 and then 300, then I think you're kind of buying in because maybe there's something there and somebody out there is trying to get in as much as possible. These, it still feels to me that people are just getting involved, taking some plus prices. But if we get to Thursday and, like, coming into our show, right, if things start to move while we're on the air, that's when I think you can really buy into the predictive nature of some of those line moves.
Daniel Jeremiah, thought you were one of us, man. Just put out his mock draft. Bo Nix, 22nd. I don't believe you. Come on. That is, with the Bo Nix.
Hold on, do you want to take a break? We got a minute.
No.
You want to take a deep breath? I don't want you to say anything that you're going to regret.
I just.
So angry. Look at him. He can't even get words together.
It's funny to me how here we are 24 hours out. And I feel like people are buying into it right now. And there's a lot of this smoke. Peter Schrager and Daniel Jeremiah both have Michael Penix to the Raiders at 13. And there's just a lot of push that it's going to be Bo Nix. That's six quarterbacks in the top 22.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Again, I will reiterate this 1,000 times. I believe the Raiders like Michael Penix Jr. But that doesn't mean they have to draft him in the first round, especially when you have a top 40-ish pick coming back the other way in the second round. So that's, I mean, I think that everything you're hearing is true because, as he said, it seems that the Raiders really like Penix. I would agree with that. I just don't think it's going to be worth a first-round pick.
Well, here in Nevada, the odds have come down. They were up for a little over a week. We will get how much those odds have moved. Dylan Sullivan, who set the lines here at Circa, will join us in studio next here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN.com, folks, check it out. Chock full of information, including write-ups for both NBA playoff games, the National Hockey League, and, of course, VSiN.com/draft. All of your draft content that you need up there, including Tim Murray's Mock Draft 2.0, which will be submitted to, what is it, HuddleReport.com?
Yeah, baby.
And I'm sure we'll finish in the top five. Check it all out, VSiN.com.
It is VSiN Primetime. The NFL Draft is tomorrow. We've been talking about it. Not to toot our own horns, but I would say more than any show on this network. We've been locked in, giving out our plays. We'll take a look at our final portfolios in the final segment. But a gentleman who we deserve a little gratitude for putting up as many offerings as they did, Dylan Sullivan here at Circa Sports, joins us. Now, to note, in Nevada, no longer can bet on the draft. However, Circa's still up in Colorado and Illinois. And obviously, for those of you watching, check your local jurisdiction, and you might be able to bet into the market. Overall, big picture, JVT just asked this question to you off air, but you guys were out for a little over a week, Dylan. How was the handle for you guys? Better than expected? How did it ultimately go for at least here in Nevada?
Yeah, I would say it was much higher than expected, given that we're taking nickel limits, where in years past we took dimes. Just completely blew it out of the water. More than we could have imagined.
So I'm curious, you know, we've seen a lot of these props move back and forth. The total quarterbacks in the first round is like a really big one, right? Where you guys were like, oh, did you get that a pick, I think, if I remember correctly, right? And then like all the way back up to where you were. Is that good for you guys? Like, are you balanced on a prop like that? Or is that still something where, no, there is a wrong result for us on something that has taken so much two-way action?
It can definitely get to the point that it's a lose-lose. The way we're moving this stuff, we're kind of scalping ourselves off of each move. And sometimes the nature of the draft is it's free money once the result's known, you know what I mean? So you move it more than you would a normal event, and in turn, the guy's going to bet you again after you moved it more than, you know, you typically would. So you kind of inadvertently earn in that sense. There were points that we were win-win on that prop, and then I think there were points that we were lose-lose. It ultimately ended up pretty much a wash.
Okay. Dylan Sullivan here from Circa Sports. Helped set all the numbers for the draft market. Was there a particular prop or two that was more bet than others out there of your offerings?
The J.J. McCarthy over-under ended up being the most written prop.
So let's get to it. J.J. McCarthy, 5.5. Last glance at here, I think it closed plus 170-ish to the over, minus 210 or so to the under. Was it all under money? What are you guys hoping for tomorrow when it comes to J.J. McCarthy?
Well, we're still live in a couple jurisdictions.
That's true, yeah.
So it's to be determined. But as of right now, we're going to want the under, which probably is dependent on a trade happening. Incredible two-way on the over and on the under.
So what is a lot of people, when you look at the NFL draft, maybe this is too tricky of a question. A lot of people kind of don't understand, like, it's information-based, so, like, you're laying prices, right? Like, it doesn't really matter. Was there a prop where no matter what you put in terms of a minus number, people were still coming in and laying it for you guys?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah?
And that leads to simultaneous action, like where we're earning on the full split over and under at the same time.
Yeah.
Dylan Sullivan here in studio. As for the quarterbacks, you guys set lines on Drake May versus Jaden Daniels. It looks like Jaden Daniels will be the selection at 2. We won't know for sure until tomorrow night. Dylan, we talked about it. You sent me a note last Friday when it ultimately crashed and then rose back up. How are you guys going to do on that particular prop?
We need Jaden Daniels, but it's not a big decision.
Jaden Daniels to go ahead of Drake May.
Correct.
Because of just the big number, people were just taking a piece of that big number?
No, we kind of had to put ourselves out there, and once we were pretty convinced that it was going to be Daniels, we just tried to put the best price on May out there, and hopefully it works out for us.
let me hit on the other two quarterbacks, because if memory serves, you set Michael Penix at 32.5, Bo Nix at 32.5, got up to 34.5 on Bo Nix. Looks like you closed at 32.5 here in Nevada, obviously, as you mentioned, still live in Illinois and Colorado, but those two quarterbacks, is there a particular need? How is the action on those two particular quarterbacks props as well?
It kind of comes in spurts. There was a lot of stuff in the last probably 24 hours. A lot of reputable mock drafts having them both come out in the first round.
Right.
So at this point, I think we probably want the under on both of them and the over on total quarterbacks drafted as well. But I think Penix is a pretty small decision.
Handle-wise, how much is coming in here in the next, you know, few hours? Like, we always talk about the Super Bowl. A vast majority of handle comes late in the week. How much has really transpired and coming in over these last, like, 24 hours and going into when you're going to take them off tomorrow?
Yeah, the last 24 hours, I mean, the last hour wasn't so crazy, but last night, the guys, I wasn't there, but the guys were telling me it was just nonstop, busiest day they've ever worked here. And then this morning it was pretty much the same thing, so it was overwhelming.
Have you noted, as you've been doing, how many years have you been doing this, Dylan, booking the draft?
This is going to be my fourth.
Fourth year. Have you, over the years, as you're, you don't have to give away the secret sauce, but are there particular guys that you eye up more? Like I mentioned Daniel Jeremiah a bunch. He's, you know, pretty well connected. Peter Schrager. There's a lot of different guys. But then there's jabronis like me. I have no sources. I'm just betting the draft, doing as much reading as possible. So are there guys in particular that you kind of think make a lot of sense? How do you go about doing the same basically homework that I do, trying to figure out setting the right number, moving appropriately on mock drafts and reporting?
Yeah, I think that's where experience comes in year over year. You kind of figure out who the best guys are, who's the most reputable and most accurate on as far as like mock drafts. And then the other side of it, you're looking at who the betters respect the most and kind of just maybe giving those guys a little more respect than the others.
When do you think we get to the point where the odds in the market becomes predictive? Like this time last year, we thought Will Levis was going to go like fourth overall, right? And we thought that Justin Herbert had moved ahead of Tua Tagovailoa. At what point do you think when the bets start coming in, you're like, oh no, these are based on like real information. This is actually happening.
It's kind of different with every player. A lot of it's probably yesterday. Some of it's probably tomorrow morning. We've never had him open the day of at Circus, so that should probably be pretty interesting. But I think the day of, like, pretty much everything you're taking is probably free money.
Yeah. So a lot of these markets, Dylan Sullivan here with us in studio from Circus Sports in Nevada. The odds have closed, but obviously across the country still up, and some will be live during the draft. Now, you mentioned you guys will take your odds down at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific in both Colorado and Illinois, but there were a couple markets that you came out and they were already out at other shops. There were a handful of over-unders that you guys were unique to the market. How did you go about setting those numbers? Did you adjust more rapidly? I'm trying to think of a couple examples. I think A.D. Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell, I think you opened 17.5, closed 28.5. So some of those guys, a Spencer Rattler, a Michael Pratt, I mean, you were the only book in the world who had those guys over-unders. How did you go about setting that number, and how quickly did you adjust those numbers when folks started betting it?
Setting the number, we're really just looking at a few mock drafts, a few projection places, and then just kind of throwing a dart, and then obviously removing extremely quickly when we're taking money on those, especially when there's no other market to compare yourself to. But yeah, it's really just a shot in the dark.
So with the edge rushers too, you know, right, Dallas Turner, I think you guys were about 9.5 at my last look with his draft position. Laiatulatu, you were floating around 16.5. Where did you guys end up with, or where are you guys at with those two edge rushers, and what's the action been like? Because Turner's been a guy that's been often mocked to 7, but you guys were at 9.5.
Yeah, I think we stayed at 9.5 the whole lifespan of his. I couldn't tell you what the juice closed at, but sure. There's plenty of differences on the mock drafts. I think Jeremiah just came out and had him under. A lot of places are expecting someone else to fall in there where he would end up at 10, 11, 12. So Turner's been pretty consistent. 9.5 was the right number for him.
Yeah.
Was there a particular prop that you guys had, whether it was team to select whatever position, that you found a little bit surprising that people were betting into as much as they were?
Yeah, some of these later quarterbacks, like a Spencer Rattler or Michael Pratt, sometimes those guys get zero bets, and sometimes they're back and forth. It really just takes one guy to have an opinion and let it bounce back and forth.
Was there a big long shot? Like, is there anything, like, is there a bomb out there on the board result-wise for you guys?
No, I think we did a pretty good job this year protecting ourselves.
Dylan Sullivan hanging with us here in studio. So, last one for me. We had Derek in studio last Thursday, and he was joking that he hates the draft. It's his least favorite event of the year. He's like, as a sports fan, I love it, but as the owner of a sports book, he hates it. How much do you, Jeff Benson, and others in that risk room have to pull his arm? Because if I remember, you came out earlier this year. I think there were more offerings this year. So how much did you need to pull the boss's arm to get as much up as you did?
Honestly, not at all. I think he's pretty relaxed as far as that stuff goes and kind of lets us do our thing. Hopefully, when the draft's all said and done, we're not regretting that. But, yeah, he kind of just let us do our own thing.
What's your process tomorrow? Are you sweating it out? Because you said a lot of these lines. You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm going to try not to watch it. I'll probably be checking it on my phone.
I'll be here watching it.
Yeah, we'll be here. Dylan Sullivan, he's the man who set these lines, as others did, behind the counter there at Circus Sports. It is down here in Nevada, but up across the country at other spots. Circus still live in Illinois Colorado until 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Dylan, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you.
At Dylan Sullivan _. We'll wrap up VSiN Primetime on the other side. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings Sportsbook's has you covered through every single round of the tournament. Yep, that's right. Same game parlays, live betting odds, boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN to customers. You have $5 and $200 in bonus bets are yours instantly. It's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
The Miami Heat. Up 80-70 on the Boston Celtics. Woohoo, buddy. They have not cooled off. They are 18 of 31 from three, JVT. And now you look at the in-game price. The Miami Heat are a favorite. Do we look to bet the Celtics?
I mean, yeah. That is interesting.
Down 10.
I mean, 10 points is nothing in terms of a comeback, too. I mean, I think that would definitely be the side. I'll put it this way. I don't think you're coming in and laying it knowing that, Miami's going to hold on to this lead. You know what I'm saying? So I think that would definitely be the way to look. Now, again, as we kind of discussed, right, regression is not guaranteed, and that has definitely not happened here. The Heat are shooting nearly 60% from three. I think that's insane.
So they did it for a whole series against my Milwaukee, right?
They did. So like maybe that's just going to be the case here for Miami, that they're just going to come out and have another insane shooting performance, and people are going to take that and go, see, they can win the whole thing, even though I don't know if they're going to shoot 60% from three again. But the fact that we have 4 minutes left in the third quarter and they're on the verge of hitting their 20th three-pointer, it's pretty nuts. So I would say, again, probably not going to be able to keep that up, but again, probably regression is not a guaranteed thing here at this point right now.
It's nuts. Yeah, it is absolutely wild. Boston, by the way, on the ice right now.
Other Boston.
Tied at one. Boston. Toronto on a power play, and 15 seconds to go, second period. Boston and Toronto. Johnny Lazarus, when he was on with us earlier this hour, I should say, did like Toronto in game, like the way they were playing. That game tied at one in the closing seconds of the second period. Still to come tonight, 9:40 Eastern tip time. We've got the Oklahoma City Thunder and the New Orleans Pelicans. JVT, you have a prop angle that you're looking at. Current line sits OKC minus 7.5. One spot in the far-off land has gone down to 7. 211.5 is the total, excuse me.
Yeah, we went Josh Giddey under points, rebounds, and assists in this game, assuming that his role is going to be changed. And it looks like the market at least agrees. We're down to like minus 122, minus 125. Look, we saw his minutes get cut to about 20, and he was not effective in those 20 minutes. And when you look at the way the Pelicans were willing to defend him, they put everybody on him. Jose Alvarado, who gives up like a million inches that you can shoot over, yeah, go ahead, guard him. Jonas Valanciunas, who you would think he can easily get by, yeah, go ahead, guard him. We don't really care because he doesn't really offer that in terms of an offensive impact. Guys like Cason Wallace and others, a little bit better defensively, a little bit better in terms of their spacing and what they provide. I think that we're at a point where Giddey's going to see his minutes get pretty cut into. So you add in the fact that we're talking about a slower pace, more physical defense, a change in role. Feel like one more time getting under his points, rebounds, and assists after a tough game one. We're trying again here with a series adjustment potentially in his role in this series against New Orleans.
All right, the NFL draft is tomorrow. We will have coverage starting at 6 o'clock Eastern, me and JVT, for 2 hours. The Golics expected to jump on the show for a couple of segments. Looking forward to their analysis, the latest line moves. If we see anything like C.J. Stroud a year ago, we will certainly be keeping an eye on that. Then, starting at 8 o'clock Eastern, Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe will jump on the desk. I will hang out as well for the next for those 2 hours as well. So we'll have you covered wall to wall with the NFL draft. For the past, would you say 3 weeks? You and I have been discussing the draft, giving out bets here and there.
That's right. Onions to the wall.
And we have concluded our betting. You guys can continue to bet. We can recommend bets. But these are our final plays in our draft portfolio. And look, I don't know what to tell you. We've been giving these out every night. We've been putting them on VSiN.com/picks, so can't get mad at us for the lines that have moved. I'll say this. We've got some pretty good CLV. No.
Yeah.
Will that mean anything?
Means nothing.
Means nothing. But let's run through our plays. Who do we want to do first? Do you want to do JVT or you want me to go? All Mr. right. Von Tobel, so now, let's run through your final portfolio.
I want to coordinate with our group here too. I'm gonna pause, right? I'm gonna get some sound effects here. So whether or not we're like I did well, is that what we're doing? Okay, all right. So for the first one, Dallas Turner to be the 8th overall pick, specifically, not the Atlanta Falcons, just has to be picked in the 8th spot, plus 340. Sound effect says.
Good.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Closing line value. Got it. Right.
Plus 175 right now at DraftKings. However, he is not the favorite. That would be Laiatu Latu is the favorite at plus 150.
Oh, interesting. Okay. J.J. McCarthy, draft position, over 5.5, plus 165. Yeah. All right. All right. We're doing well.
This is a pretty decent move here. Important to note. J.J. McCarthy closed at Circa here in Nevada at around plus 170 to the over. Mm. DraftKings has it at even money now. So late money coming on J.J. McCarthy to the over. Mm. So good spot there. CLV, baby.
Laiatu Latu, draft position under 21.5. Even money.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of conversation.
Down to 16.5, minus 115 both ways at DraftKings.
Okay. Titans, first selection, offensive lineman, minus 300. Okay, all right. Ooh, that was rolling. A little bit spicy. Cool.
Looking at it right now, -320.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh,
there we go. Just barely. Just squeaking in there. This is one where it's not going to be great. Under 4.5 quarterbacks drafted first round, +260.
Oh, yeah. Right now, position totals at DraftKings, they're sitting at +330 to the under.
Wow, man. All right. Well, we're going to win anyway. Total offensive linemen drafted in the first round over 9.5, -140.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So of the six, we get five cheers in one boo. So there we go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I was just pulling it up, what those odds were currently.
You get the draft. Tim's, you know, we might have to do a to be continued to tomorrow. It's a long list.
Offensive lineman, -180.
There we go.
There we go. Save 40 cents. All right. Let's run through mine. My primetime portfolio, J.C. Latham, the last edition. Under 14.5, -165. Survey says. Yeah. All right. There we go. J.C. Latham right now at DraftKings sitting at -230 to the under. Byron Murphy, top 10, +375. Survey says. All right. Yeah. Top 10 right now. Byron Murphy is -145.
There you go.
What could go wrong? Adonai Mitchell, draft position over 27.5, -130. Yeah.
-200.
-200. Tarian Arnold. I don't know. This one started to move a little bit. First cornerback drafted, Tarian Arnold, +185.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh. Okay, okay. All right. Got a little word. Got a little word.
All right. Graham Barton, Duke. Swing guard, center, play some tackle too. Under 21.5, -155.
Wow.
All right.
Ooh. Killing it. You're killing it.
Bo Nix. Oh, baby. Bo Nix over 32.5, -140. Saw some movement today. Hanging on. Hanging on by a thread. -155 right now. All right. We already did this one, but we'll bring in some boos. Under 4.5 quarterbacks, +260. Lad McConkey, drafted in the first round, 3-1. -125 right now. Laiatu Latu, under 21.5, even money. Yeah, okay, all right. What do we got there? CLV trophies, 8-1. Man, I mean, who even needs the draft, JVT?
You know what? This is going to be a reference that you probably don't get either, but remember the episode of SpongeBob where they had the comedy show at the Krusty Krab, and like every time like Squidward would go on, they would boo him, but then every time SpongeBob would come on to clean the stage, they would cheer. Yeah. Classic episode. Boo, this guy stinks!
Yeah. So, I mean, let's be honest. Do we even need to have the draft tomorrow? CLV combined...
By the way,
13-2, and that's because we had the same bet that was the right side from a CLV standpoint until today.
Closing line value in an information-based event that we have no idea what's going to happen. So, cool.
What can go wrong?
There you go.
All right, there you go.
Clowns.
There is our final portfolios, and hopefully it is a good night. Do I go on +125, get off my position on Bo Nix first round?
No. You're fine. Everything's fine.
Everything is awesome. That's what they said in the Lego movie.
Ah, you get that reference.
I'm a kid.
SpongeBob's a classic.
Thanks to Charch. Thanks to Thor Nystrom, Nui Scruggs, Johnny Lazarus, and Dylan Sullivan for joining us in studio. For JVT, I'm Tim Murray. Hoops Peterson, he's up next.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.